We have, as we're often told, an aging population, and it means we need to think about the way we live our lives in a variety of different ways. We've talked on the show before about what that aging population means for the way we design our homes. But an innovative new pilot program at Moonee Valley Council in Melbourne wants to take that and go a little bigger, wants to think about our streetscapes and how to make them more welcoming and accessible for that aging population, and in particular for those who have dementia. So I'm joined now by the architect and a social planner behind the scheme. They're joining us down the line from Canberra. Guy Luscombe is the architect and Carmel Boyce is the social planner at Moonee Valley Council. Good morning to you both.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
So, Guy, I might start with you. Why is it important that we address accessibility issues in our suburbs and streetscapes for older residents?
Well, it's critical because most older residents are staying in their own homes. There's this myth that people are moving into some sort of specialised living accommodation for that's suitable for them is wrong. Over 90% of people live in their own homes and want to live in their own homes. And as it says in the report, something like 70% of people living with dementia also live in their own homes and probably prefer to live in their own homes. So that's why it's critical to have the homes and the communities around them, the neighbourhoods around them, sort of age-friendly, to use that term, age and dementia-friendly, to use that term.
That figure of 70% of dementia sufferers being in their own home seems incredibly high. Is that not properly understood generally, do you think?
I think it's because most people who are living with dementia have not high care need dementia. They certainly need some sort of support, but they don't necessarily need full-time care.
So when it comes to that support, the kind of environmental support, the nature of the way we plan our cities, is there a kind of perfect design, a perfect approach that we should be taking? Should we be ideally always on a grid that's easy to navigate? Are there ways urban planning doesn't serve these people well?
The big thing with designing for dementia is working with memory and working with familiarity and working with something that people recognise, because that's what people use to navigate their way around the place and how they feel. I mean, a lot of dementia is about, you know, this sense of memory loss. And so if you can do things that are sort of memorable or have markers or have streetscapes that are sort of have those sorts of things, then it makes it easier for people to get around, basically.
Give us some examples. What are some of those techniques?
Well, I mean, and the obvious one would be to say have a historic marker or something like that that people can recognise if they're going somewhere. And so you'd say that if there's some clock or some lamppost or even a seat or something like that that has been there for a while, then they can use that. Oh, I'm at this spot now. I need to go left or I need to go right to get to the butcher or to get to the chemist or whatever it is. And so, you know, that would be an example of what you could do. Or it could be a church, for example. A church spire is the classic sort of marker because, you know, they're very memorable and it's something that people identify with.
Presumably when you're doing this kind of thinking and planning, part of what you need to understand is the ways in which people access our streets now. What about for those who are not as mobile as they once were? What are older residents?
How do they approach
our streets?
The physicality, if you like, the physical aspects of the environment are things that are pretty well understood these days. I mean, you know, one of the things that we're trying to highlight was the physical things should be taken for granted, and we've put that all in the toolkit. So the physical things like ramps and steps and, tactile indicators and crossings and footpaths and surfaces, all those sorts of things really do need to be included because they do make it much easier for people who've got limited mobility or have some sort of sensory deprivation. You know, they can't get around as easily as they used to be able to for whatever reason. Then, making an environment that is easier to get around physically is obviously critical.
Well, and walkability. I mean, we read endlessly about the benefits of being able to get out and walk for older residents. Are there... Yep. What about resting points, like seats? Is there a minimum distance you need between resting points for people?
The evidence, and we tried to use the best evidence we could from various sources, but the evidence seems to suggest that a seat every 100 metres is probably the optimum thing to have in any area. You know, and then there's a standard walking distance to facilities, which is about 400 to 500 metres as well. That's sort of what. So if you're going to shops or something like that, house, your house is not that far away, then, you know, that's a distance that people will walk. I mean, the whole thing was very much based on walkability. Carmel is the expert on walkability. But
that's a perfect cue, Carmel, because I'm keen to bring you in. Why did Moonee Valley Council in Melbourne decide it wanted to get involved in this pilot project?
Well, I'm a social planner and my expertise is walkability, but I'm really interested in people maintaining their capacity and mobility for, you know, into later life. And in Moonee Valley, about a third of the population of about 17,000 people over 65, about a third have disabled parking permits, which means they've got some limitation on their mobility, which is an extraordinary number of people. So that means that for about a third of people, our streetscapes are more difficult than they could be. So making their life easier and making access to, you know, normal things like shops for food, for, you know, chemists, to the newspaper, to go to a cafe, making those things more accessible is really important. I think the other thing is that older people generally, they might be asset rich, but they certainly are income poor. And in Moonee Valley, you have a whole range of people, but they include people who've left the textile or food or car industries, you know, early in their working life. And so going to the shops is generally free. You know, you can meet people and see people and engage in community life without actually having to, you know, pay to go somewhere like the pitches or...
No, of course. Carmel, let's hear from some of those residents in that area. Our producer, Kathy Pryor, headed down to Union Street in Ascot Vale, which is one of the streets that's been the focus for the council, and spoke to a number of people. First up is Robin Temby, who helps coordinate the University of the Third Age in that area, about the project.
So we're standing in the main street of Ascot Vale here. Tell me about what you feel could change or be improved to enable older residents to enjoy this area much more.
Well, I think it's an ongoing process, even just in the short time that we've been involved with the aged-friendly streetscapes through Carmel. I can see there's some reaction already from the council, some work's done. Just when I'm looking at a seat which is just outside the post office across the road from us, that's a new seat. It looks much better than the old metal ones that were there, and they're slightly higher, so that means that older people can have a chance of getting out of it once they've sat down.
What do you think are some of the obstacles for older people as they walk around a suburb? What things do you think may stop them from being as mobile as perhaps they might like?
I would say it's a lot to do with just personal experience. They may have been quite mobile before, and now their confidence has declined. And I think it's a perception of what it does feel like for them now that they're undergoing or experiencing that kind of restriction. So things may not be as bad as they think, but it just takes one or two small scares to really knock the confidence of an older person.
My name is Edith Chen. I live around the corner, a suburb named Kensington. We also noticed about the sharing the path, because we noticed that the younger mothers often push the pram around. And if you notice, there are a fair bit of coffee places. They would like to have people sit along the road. Therefore, different users have to learn to share the path a bit. That is the area that we are a little bit critical, that how much pollution that commercial operation can come into the pavement.
My name is Wazila Khan, and I have lived here for several years. As an older person and with low vision, I'm afraid of stumbling or falling, and that's why I was interested in this project.
What kinds of things could help you to enable you to walk around confidently in your suburban area?
probably the maintenance of the walking surfaces, the footpaths, the unevenness or any slipperiness, the sort of trees that are planted on the footpath. I didn't even realize that, but different trees shed more leaves than others, and maybe some get more slippery than others, and that becomes a hazard.
Are you pleased that you're being asked for your personal input into this?
I'm very pleased to participate because walking is very important to me. I try to walk in the area every day. The familiarity and the community-mindedness and friendliness of people is always, it's very refreshing.
Karma, we heard there some of the things that concern some of the residents in Moonee Valley. You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN, and I'm speaking with Carmel Boyce and Guy Luscombe about designing our cities and suburbs for an ageing population. Carmel, given your expertise in walkability, I, as a Melbourne person, I know that Moonee Valley, as the name might suggest, is an incredibly hilly area which must present all kinds of challenges. Tell us about the benefits for older residents in thinking about walkability in your council.
Well, look, there's a whole range of them, and the evidence is really strong that moderate physical activity every day actually increases your physical health. Even with mild cognitive impairment and the beginnings of dementia, walking can moderate your outcomes over time, but also improve your physical endurance and capacity. And so as you do that, you can actually modify the onset of dementia and increase the period of time that you might be well and active and engaged in community life but still have mild cognitive impairment.
You also talked a bit to residents and got their kind of views and issues going in. What were some of the things they raised with you, in particular about signage?
What we did is took residents on a walk down the street and took really good notes and then put those on maps and organise them into sort of, you know, groups of issues. At the time, we were doing the signage strategy for the municipality, and one of the issues was that they couldn't work out from the signs where to go. So there was too many of them. They were too high. They weren't clear. The writing wasn't very legible or visible from a distance. And so it provided almost no information because it was, you know, there was too much and it was too difficult to understand.
There's a great cliche that government and council can move very slowly. When you got feedback like that, were there changes you were able to put into place immediately?
So we've had this delightful process where we've been building the toolkit in council, but across a range of departments, and in urban design at the same time they've been doing plans for the redevelopment of the Union Road streetscape. So Sarah Hark has been working across both projects. So the things she's been learning from residents have been embedded in the redesign plans.
Guy Luscombe, are you hoping other council areas will follow this pilot project?
I mean, the whole purpose of this really, and why I wanted to get involved, I'm actually from Sydney, but we got involved because we just thought this is not a situation isolated to Moonee Valley. It actually could be applied more widely, and I think, and it's actually a worldwide problem, really. And the whole age-friendly cities movement is a big thing that's going around the world at the moment because of the demographic that's completely changing. And so, yes, I think it could be applied a lot more widely. There are many things in there that, you know, I don't think it's a perfect recipe, but I think it is trying to say we need to do something more. We need to do something to address how are we going to keep people in cities and how do we make places better for older people. And the things that are embedded in the toolkit, I think, are a good starting point to be able to do that.
Thank you both so much for your time.
That's fine, Michael. Thank you.
Architect Guy Luscombe and Carmel Boyce from Moonee Valley Council. Guy and Carmel presented at the Australian Association of Gerontology National Conference this week, and I was speaking to them from Canberra.